Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Guys, this will be part two on our episode, negotiating and, how that's kind of tailored to creative financing. But we've kind of gone over negotiation in a broad spectrum. So if you haven't listened to our last episode, go back and listen to that. We talk about, three ways to do more deals. And we talk about, decision making when it comes down to a seller and, the three things that that helps them make that decision. And we talk about really how to build rapport. So Jeff's going to hit us with some more strategies for negotiation in this one. So let's dive into it, Jeff.
So quick review, ask questions when you're asked.
Yes.
Follow up with questions when you're asked a question. Clarify those questions. When you're following up with a seller, remember the three things that you want to keep in mind, and that is, are they motivated to sell now? What things may be holding them back from selling now? And if they're just not ready to sell now.
Right. Okay. And I also put in the show notes here, always try to ask open-ended questions just to let the seller talk and so you can gain more information.
Remember that clarifying question every so often just to make sure that you're letting the seller know you're listening to what they have to say.
Yes, clarify and validate.
Yes. All right, so now we're going to talk about some different strategies. Whenever I am talking to a seller or I'm training someone to talk to sellers, the goal really is to dig deeper through asking questions to learn what the situation truly is, right? And mm-hmm. we want to try to get to, hey, why are you really wanting to sell your property now? And one question might be is, how quickly would you like to sell your property? And if it's ASAP, there might be a story behind it. There might be some reasoning behind it. Yeah. If it's within the next 6 months, probably no story there. Not really eager.
Right.
So you want to ask questions, you want to listen to those answers, and then you want to follow up with those questions or with those answers to dig a little deeper. Oh, okay. Is there a reason why you need to, get this done so quickly, and see if they start to open up a little bit more about what's going on? So let's say that, you do a good job and, they tell you they're behind on payments. They lost a job, they've got some health issues, and, you can tell that they're in some pain, that there are some motivating factors that are trying to move them forward. And that is what we're looking for. What's causing the action to move forward quickly? And, you may talk to someone that's in default and immediately you will assume, hey, you're behind on payments. That's what's moving you forward quickly. You'd be surprised. In Utah, you've got at least 4 months before you get, from the time that you get a notice of default to the time that they can actually foreclose. And in reality, it's usually more like 6 months or more. And so you talk to someone in the first couple of weeks of getting a notice of default, don't have any urgency to sell at this point. They're more in a state of denial. That's not what's pushing them forward. Right. So That's why you need to dig deeper, is that, you know, what's pushing you to, you know, want to sell quickly or needing a fast sale. So let's say that we find out that, hey, it's really not that, you know, I'm behind on payments, you know, that's a problem, but that's not the immediate problem. The immediate problem is, I lost my job and, you know, I haven't, for whatever reason, been able to get unemployment and, you know, we're struggling. We've got no money. And yeah, that's the thing pushing us forward. So once you truly identify those pain points, you want to use those pain points. And when I say this, I want to be clear. I am not trying to use this to, you know, hurt this seller or push this seller in a corner and try to take advantage of a seller. Yeah. What I am trying to do is I'm trying to help the seller move closer, move forward in the sales process so that they can make a clear decision on what they would like to do. Sometimes they are just so overwhelmed with everything that's going on. They're feeling so much stress, so much pressure. They just, they're having a hard time making a decision. And my goal is I'm just trying to help them through this process. If the answer is no at the end, that's okay. The goal is that there is an answer at the end, not, you know, maybe. We don't like maybe. So I might say, for example, Mr. Seller, it sounds like you've not been able to really take care of your basic needs for like the last several months. You've gotten no income coming in, and it sounds like maybe the proceeds from the sale of the house would really help you. Is that fair to say? You know, I'm basically just reiterating what their pain points are. I'm clarifying again. And yeah. I might say later on, it sounds like in some instances you've gone without heat or food for, you know, days at a time. Is that, I mean, just trying to survive, right? Is that true? Yeah. I want them to hear it from a different perspective. They're telling me, and then I'm telling them, and I want them, you know, they're living it. I get it. But hearing it from someone else may make a little, have a little different impact on them.
Yeah. Sometimes it just clarifies things for people.
Right. It's like, oh my God, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I have been living like without
like a reality check.
Yeah. Food or heat for 2 days, 3 days at a time. And then what I want to do is once I've identified the pain points and I've clarified them, I want to try to take them to what John Martinez would call a picture perfect scenario. So how do I get them from the crap that they've been in to somewhere where they can start to move forward, a much better place? And so something like, hey, I know it's been extremely tough on you these past months. Very little to get by with. But can you imagine what it's going to be like when this is all behind you and you can actually live again? You know, you're not going to feel like you're drowning on a regular basis. What's the first thing that you're going to want to get done? You know, how is that going to make you feel? So I'm now taking them from this, you know, miserable spot that they've told me that they're in. And I'm taking them to a much nicer place where they realize, hey, that's better for me. That's better for my family. Now I'm trying to help them move forward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. I love it. So they tell you, and then you tell them from your perspective, and that really kind of gives them some clarity, shines a light on it.
Yeah. And I want them to see what the benefits are about moving forward. Right. You know, they're scared, they're skeptical, they're, you know, they don't know who I am. They don't know if they can trust me. What I know is, hey, you're telling me you're in a tough spot, and I'm telling you, let me help you get to a much better one.
Yeah. And I love your question. What will it be like after this is over?
Yeah.
What will it be like when you've reached your goal?
Yep.
How would that feel?
Yep. You know, and it might be, hey, once you're into a new place and you're actually starting over, you know, you got some money in your pocket, you don't feel like, you know, you've got to make everything happen today. You know, you can, you know, take your time and really make some good choices for yourself going forward. Things like that. Okay, so this is one of my favorite ones. It's called Falling on the Sword, and it is great to use when you either need to go renegotiate a deal with a seller, or the seller has gone dark on you. So maybe you have presented an offer and the seller didn't give you an answer. Now the seller's not answering any of your phone calls or texts, and you're trying to, you know, figure out what to do. You're kind of in limbo.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this one, Jonathan?
I've heard you talk about it before.
Okay. So this is what, when I like to use it, whenever I have to tell the seller something that may make him or her mad, upset, disappointed, frustrated, we want to fall on the sword, which is basically, I'm going to take responsibility for something, whether it's actually real or not real. And I'm going to be as apologetic as possible. So I'll give you an example. I did a property, this was, you know, a few years ago now, and we couldn't move it. And I had one really good buyer. Okay. And that buyer did a walkthrough and they said, Jeff, we think that there's something wrong with the foundation and we haven't been able to truly inspect it, but we can't pay this price based on, you know, the potential of it. And I said, so what is the price that you could pay? And then they gave me a number. And that number did not work based on where we were under contract. So I went back to my seller and I, you know, met with him at his house. And I said to him, look, I am so sorry that I'm even here right now. And I'm even more sorry that I've got to give you the following news is that, you know, we can't move forward. And here's why. You know, I did a poor job of looking at the house as a whole and uncovering that there's a foundation issue. And what I've done is I've had some people look at it, although they haven't gotten a really close look yet. They expect that there's going to be a significant expense with it. And I've then pushed it out to some other investors and I've basically gotten the same feedback. I feel terrible. It is always in my best interest to try to fulfill the agreement that we came to together. But I wouldn't blame you if you just wanted to move on at this point.
Yes. Okay?
And I've now taken full responsibility, right?
Yep.
So it's really difficult for this seller now to be, you know, a lot of times when you say, hey, we need to renegotiate this. Well, immediately the seller's like, yeah, why? That's what I've, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Or great. Yeah, I knew you would just waste my time. It could be potentially confrontational. Yeah. Now you're not dealing with negotiations. You're dealing with trying to alleviate the tension between the two of you first before you can ever get involved in the negotiation.
Yeah.
Here it's almost like, hey, you know, Jeff, I don't blame you. It sounds like you did the best you could. You know, things happen and yeah. You know, they're going to be far more understanding. Yeah. Well, it turns out in this example that my buyer did not really give me a good bid. And then they had to go do it again. And they came back with a new number. And I now had to go back to my seller a second time to renegotiate. And I told them, look, I'm humiliated. I can't believe I'm even here. I can't even believe you let me in your front door. And it wouldn't surprise me if after I tell you what I got to do, that you just kick me out and never want to see me again. And went through the same thing and he ended up giving me the second discount as well. And was actually happy with, you know, that I was upfront that, you know, I wanted to make something work and probably because I took accountability and made it my responsibility as opposed to, you know, Mr. Scheller, you didn't tell me that there was a foundation issue. You know, this is more your fault than my fault.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Now that you say that, I think of one house that I did, and it's actually something I remember asking your opinion on, where this lady was in touch. It was a probate deal. She was in touch with several other investors, and I gave her the highest price. And I just didn't look at the comps right. I was comping it from a different area that was across the major road. And I had to go back to her three different times and say, hey, look, I'm sorry. I didn't price this right. I'm sorry that I can't pay you this. And I completely understand if you want to walk. And I ended up doing that deal with her.
Yeah.
And it was a thin margin deal, but, we wholesaled it and it all worked out in the end. But I used that, I'm falling on the sword. I said, I feel bad about this. I'm sorry. I didn't see this.
It's my responsibility. I'm being accountable.
Yeah. So no, I can't pay you that, unfortunately. And I understand if you want to walk away now, that's completely fine. But, this is my fault.
So there's another good time to use this. And like I said, when, a seller goes dark, you've tried to call, you've tried to text, you're not getting anything. And it's almost like the goodbye, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you for the last week or two. The only thing I can think of is that I must have done something wrong. I must have offended you in some way. I sincerely apologize for that. That was not my intent. At this point, it seems like you've moved on, and I guess we will do the same. I wish you the best of luck. And now all of a sudden, for whatever reason, that people tend to get back in touch with you. I was just dealing with this, or I was just doing that, or all of a sudden all the reasons that they were avoiding you are no longer matter. And it is absolutely worth a shot to use in your business, because be careful when you use it and how often you use it. You don't want to use it multiple times necessarily. I did with that one particular seller, but when the seller goes dark on you, good time to use. When you got to renegotiate and you got to bring bad news to the seller, great time to use it as well.
Yeah. I love that. This must have been my fault. I must have done something wrong. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to do two more. And this is one that I think that investors tend to forget. And because you can be really good at creating rapport, creating that connection, having a good relationship, walking them through, the offer or offers, but they don't get them to move to the closing, right? The closing being signing of the agreement.
Yeah.
And so the last two are going to kind of focus on those. And this is what I call creating a verbal agreement and asking for the close. Although it's not really you asking for the close, it's literally going to be the seller asking for the close.
Okay.
So when and this will vary depending on how you do it. You may go on appointments. You may do this all virtually on the phone and through email. But in reality, it's very much the same no matter how you do it. When we do it, we put together an LOI, a letter of intent, and there may be an offer to three or four offers on there. And so we'll tell them once we've made this, hey, we'd like to spend some time. We'll go over it, explain how each offer works, and then you can choose which option best fits your needs. And so we'll go through it. It's great when they say, I like option one. That'll work, and we're good to go, right? I mean, that's what everyone wants, is just accept my offer and let's move forward. That's not always the way it works. But if they did choose an option, my next question would be is, great, how would you like to proceed? So my goal is I want them to tell me I'm ready to take care of the paperwork and get this done. And if they don't want to tell me that, now, remember that question that we put on hold? I don't know if it was on last episode or if it was earlier on this episode, Jonathan.
It was last episode.
Yeah. So this is where I will, if the seller says, well, I'm not really sure if I'm, you know, confident in moving forward, or I'm not really sure if, you know, I'm ready to move forward, or you're just sensing even that the seller's not quite there yet. I'm going to bring up, you know, Mr. Seller, Mrs. Seller, I've told you all along, I want this to be a win-win situation. I want you to be not only satisfied, I want you to be happy about the deal that we come to on this property. And if we don't, then, you know, we shouldn't do this. And I stand by that. But I'm getting the sense that you're just not comfortable with something. Something's still standing in the way. You know, is my feeling right, or am I just imagining this? I might still, you know, I still have a problem with this, or, you know, I'm still wondering how this might work. Okay, well, would it make sense if we just go through that again? Let's see if I can make that, I can simplify it for you. So, you know, I don't want you to be confused, that's for sure. I want to make sure that you understand everything and that you're comfortable. And again, if not, then we won't move forward. Fair enough? Great. And now we'll deal with that potential objection, deal killer. And again, how would you like to proceed? Where would you like to go from here? I want the seller, when the seller tells me, let's get this done, the seller's invested now.
Yeah.
When I'm the one guiding the seller through everything and I say, all right, here's the paperwork. Has the seller told me we're ready for the paperwork yet?
Yeah,
not necessarily. And yep, if you're sending it to him like email, we still need to help walk them through it. And if they won't take our phone call, there's something still left out there that they weren't comfortable with.
Yeah. So it's like, great, you said this works for you. I feel like there's still something standing in your way. So you're asking for their objection or their deal killer, right?
Right.
And then you're validating that and saying, well, let's address that. Would it make sense to you if we just walk through it again? So you address their objection and then you come around to the close again and say, great, how would you like to proceed then?
Yep. And we're going to keep going. Where do you want to go from here? And we're going to keep going in this roundabout way until we've dealt with anything and everything that's still standing in our way.
Yeah.
Because if we don't resolve them, we're not getting there.
Yep.
Okay.
Objection.
Last one. Boxing in the objection.
Okay.
Okay. So this is going to come up when you hear the one thing no one wants to hear. When you're close to signing agreement and the seller comes back with, I need to think about it. Or I need to talk to my significant other, my attorney, my CPA, my uncle, my aunt, my whatever it may be. You are right there, but they're not. They're more often than not, this is more of an excuse than a problem. You know, so what we want to do is identify, you know, hey, if you want to go talk to your attorney and find out if the paperwork's all legal, that's fine. I totally understand that. You know, I don't want you getting into something where you didn't think that, you know, this is legal. And but why don't we put together the purchase agreement where, hey, it's all signed and sealed, but it gives you a few days to, you know, contingent on your attorney's approval, something like that. That way, we're not trying to chase them down. We're not waiting 2 weeks because they can't get to see their attorney. You know, we're kind of putting, you know, hey, but the way we're going to deal with this maybe is, if you're okay, it sounds like you're on board, but just to make sure your attorney is, why don't we write it up and give your attorney, you know, give you a contingency that, hey, for whatever reason, if your attorney doesn't like something that, you know, you can void this contract within the next 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, whatever.
Okay.
Hold on. I'll tell you how the boxing comes in a second. So another thing might be where I would say to the seller, look, it sounds like you still may have some questions. And I don't want you to leave here having questions. I mean, I'm right here. I can answer them for you. Are there questions that you still have that, you know, maybe are holding you back? So we're going right back to, you know, trying to get them to tell us what the deal killers are. But yeah, let's say we're not having a lot of success pulling it out of them. I'll say something. Is there something that we haven't fully dealt with yet that may be holding you back? Or in my experience, when we get to this point in the discussion and something is holding back the seller from finishing the transaction, it's usually one of four things. One is the process. Okay. So was there anything that, you know, did the process go too quickly for you? You know, what was it? Was there anything about the process that maybe you didn't understand? It was, you know, a little more complex than, you know, maybe I didn't do a good enough job explaining it. No, the process was great. Okay. The second objection usually is the paperwork. Did you understand everything when we went over the purchase and sale agreement? Are there any questions or things that maybe you didn't fully understand? The paperwork is pretty straightforward. Great. The third one would be me. Maybe you just don't like me for whatever reason. And I'm not going to hold that against you. If you don't like me, or if I've done something to maybe offend you or said something that didn't sit right with you, one, that was certainly not my intention, but you know, maybe it's me that you're not really interested in doing business with. No, you've been great. I appreciate what you've done. Okay. Well, the last one usually is price. Do you feel like you're getting a fair deal? Do you think that you're getting enough money for the property? Where, remember, we've talked about not only you would be satisfied, but you'd be happy. It's possible that maybe I would like, you know, if I could probably get $2,000 more, or if my closing costs were covered, I'd probably feel better about this deal. Okay. So now we've identified, right, that we've taken four main things that it could be, and we've literally tried to box in the one.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to deal with many, you know, and we're not trying to make any assumptions. We're trying to identify the one. That way we can deal with the one and try to overcome it, try to move this forward.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. That's the box.
That's the box.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Well, I think we need to stop there then. Because this has been fun, but we ran out of time here. So guys, I hope you've really enjoyed this episode. There was so many golden nuggets in here. So if you need to listen to this again, definitely do that to pick up those. But there's so much here to unpack, right? So I think there's so much value here is what I'm trying to say. Between boxing in the objections and falling on the sword and digging deeper, if you're able to do all this and you're able to practice as you go along in your business, practice these things every time. Next time you have a seller that doesn't want to make a decision, say, well, is it the process? Is it the paperwork? Is it me? Is it the price? Box that in and then, validate it and address it and then ask them how they want to proceed. I love that. So I hope you guys have loved it too. Guys, you can reach us online at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. All of our episodes are there. We're on Facebook at The Creative Financing Podcast. If you guys have any questions about deals that you're working on, we're trying to create a community there that can help one another out because We used to give out the hotline number for that, but we really cannot get back to all of you in time, especially if, you know, it's an urgent deal that you're trying to put together. So if you have any questions on how to structure something, you know, present it on our Facebook page, the Creative Financing Podcast. Our community will help you there. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, please reach out to Rebecca via email, and her email address is rebecca@weofferoptions.com. In the subject line, just put apprenticeship, and she'll know.
And they can still call the hotline for apprentice program. That's fine.
Okay.
What I'd rather, deal structuring though, let's join the Facebook group and get you involved. That we can get to you much quicker that way.
Yeah. And guys, for special access to a step-by-step video that Jeff put together for you guys to kind of give you a taste of the Creative Financing Academy that we are continuously working on here, text CFP or Creative Financing to 877-409-8090 to get access to that. Jeff really shows you his whole process, you know, start to finish. He shows you, you know, right from his CRM, the lead, and how he creates the terms on that property and his exit strategy, and walks you through all of that. So that's a no-brainer. If you haven't gotten that, go get that. By just texting our Creative Financing hotline. And then any last words, Jeff?
Yeah, if you're interested in the Creative Financing Academy, this is education strictly focusing on creative financing. It is set up to help you become an expert at creating financing in your business. Whether it's strictly just for that, it's as a supplement, it doesn't matter. In my mind, creative financing is practice, practice, practice. You will have plenty to do. If you're interested in our academy, call the hotline, say you're interested, or go to the creativefinancingacademy.com. And if it's not set up yet, then you should call the hotline and
let us know.
Yeah, well, then tell Jeff that he needs to start getting things done.
Fair enough. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.